All right, it's Brian here for the UMFM with the Pity Party. I'm here with Stu Ross of Come Back Kid. Stu, how's it going, man?
Great, thanks for asking. Just cruising home right now, enjoying some sunshine.
Right on. Lucky you. It's kind of cloudy here in Winnipeg right now, so not really a lot of sunshine going on. You're the guitarist with Come Back Kid. You guys are just coming out with a new album coming up within the next couple of weeks, Outsider, on New Damage Records. It's your second album with Come Back Kid. What's that like, man? What's the dynamic like? How'd you guys fit together? Like, is it a good fit? Is everything all good? Or
I mean, it's cool for me. I mean, I've played in lots of bands since, you know, sort of my early 20s, and we had toured a lot with Come Back Kid back in the day. So, I mean, these guys have been long-term friends of mine for, you know, 17 years, I guess. And, you know, I was really close with the guys that were in the band previous to me being in the band, and that's kind of how I ended up in there. Was I was really good friends with Casey, and when he said that he was going to be leaving the band, it just kind of made sense for me to give it a shot, and you know, the guys gave me the opportunity, and it worked out really well, so it's good. You know, I've been doing it for 5 or 6 years now. But yeah, so I mean, when I joined the band, they've had the way they've done things, their sort of dynamic with writing and recording and all that, sort of since day one. It's always been Andrew, Jeremy, and Kyle who were sort of, you know, behind the reins with that stuff. But after a couple of years of being in the band, they definitely opened up and allowed me to have some creative input. So, you know, going into the last record, Die Knowing, I did a little bit of writing with the guys. You know, it wasn't like a full control, here's my idea, this is the way it is situation. But they definitely let me do some writing with them and, you know, contributed some ideas to that record. So then when it came time for this record, it was actually a pretty good setup in a sense that they were really comfortable with just allowing me to, you know, write some material and bring it to the table. So it was cool. With Outsider, it was interesting because this is the first time I think Come Back Kid's ever done an album where the entire band was together. They just brought the ideas to the table and wrote and developed the songs together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's cool. It's great. I mean, I've always been a long time fan of the band. You know, they've been one of my favorite bands for years.
Yeah, no, I read an interview. It's getting kind of windy on your end for a second there, man.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we're good. I actually read an interview recently where Andrew said that you had a much greater influence. So you were talking about that, and that's really cool. What kind of stuff did you like? What kind of stuff influences you that you were able to bring into their recording process, to your guys' recording process, that you feel might not have been there previously?
That's an interesting question because I mean, who's to say, who would know if I wasn't there? But I mean, as far as like the way I write music, you know, I have like a pretty strong melodic leaning, which I think Come Back Kid's always had, but maybe it's a little more present on this record due to the fact that, you know, the stuff that I brought to the table is a little more melodic than usual. But I mean, the interesting thing is like we all sort of have like an idea of what the band should sound like, right?
Right.
So I don't necessarily know if me being there made a big difference, but I mean, obviously there's certain songs that wouldn't be on the record if I hadn't written them. So if that kind of answers the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Which to further go on that point, then which songs did you have like a really heavy hand in helping record?
Well, I mean, as far as the tracking and everything went, like Jeremy and I pretty much recorded every song, and then Andrew played on maybe like two or three, but like the songs that Andrew played on, it would be like I would play the other guitar for that, or then Jeremy would play the other guitar for that. But certain like songs in particular, like Surrender Control was a song that I brought to the table. What else is on there? Surrender Control, Outrage. I'm trying to remember what the tracks are called because they were all working titles, right?
Right.
I'm just trying to remember what they actually ended up being called.
Well, yeah, Surrender Control is the second track. Outrage was the eighth track. Both of those ones I really enjoy. The track listing, Outsider, Surrender Control, Absolute, Hell of a Scene, Somewhere, Somehow, Consume the Vision, I'll Be That, Outrage, Blind Spot, Livid, I'm Prime, Recover, Throw That Stone, and Moment in Time.
Yeah, Blind Spot and Throw That Stone were another couple songs that were mine. It's actually interesting, like when people, friends of ours that have heard the record, they kind of assume a lot of the poppier, more melodic tracks came from me, but most of the really melodic stuff is that actually came from Andrew, which was kind of surprising.
Oh, wow.
But I think that's just, we were at a point where we were kind of like, we should just try everything, And at the end of the day, it's all going to sound like Comeback Kid once Andrew's singing on it.
You guys got a really, I would say it was kind of a really big throwback. I've been such a huge fan of the band, being from Winnipeg, and listening to them since I was little. It was kind of a really neat throwback, the entire album, because you guys just got these really loud, bombastic choruses in there, and it was something that felt like it could have come off of Wake the Dead or Broadcasting, and it was a really cool thing to experience this album and just kind of get that feeling again like I used to with your guys' records. So, it's whatever you guys were able to do, it's really cool, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that appreciates it.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad to feel that way because, there was a lot of times when we were writing this stuff that we were, maybe a little unsure that maybe we were, being a little too out of the box. But it's interesting, after the fact, when you hear it back, it's it is reminiscent of sort of their older style, on previous records.
Which is great. It's such a great, catchy, awesome sound to just be kind of bumping wherever you are, headphones, speakers, car. It's a great sound where you can get people into that more melodic style, but it still has it has that edge, but it's catchy enough that you can get people into it, and it's kind of it's a gateway into the more melodic and hardcore and stuff, and it's great. I love showing it to people.
Oh, thanks so much. I mean, you're probably one of the first few people I've spoken to that I can't expect a biased reaction from, my wife and my friends and, sort of our contemporaries and other bands, everybody's always going to say, yeah, man, it's sick, it's great, so it's cool to actually hear an outside opinion on it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm glad I can provide that. I like, in my interviews, usually I like to give a couple of different questions that are outside of the making of the record and the touring and all that stuff, just to kind of let people get to know you a little better. So a question I normally like to ask is, are you superstitious? And if so, what kind of superstitions do you have?
I am, but I think it's almost subconscious at times. I feel like when I was a kid, somebody was you have to lift your feet over train tracks when you drive over them. And now I've just done it for 20 years, and I don't know why, shit like that. I don't know if I'm necessarily superstitious. I think as I get older, I'm more OCD. I'm always oh shit, did I lock the door? Did I turn off the oven or whatever,
Adult stuff.
Yeah. As far as superstition goes though, no, I think the only thing I do is the weird railroad track thing. And that's just it's almost subconscious. I just do it, and then I don't even really know why. Actually, the other thing, too, since I was, a kid, when I was, like really young, I went to Scotland for my uncle's wedding. I was, 8 or 9 years old or something. And I remember watching this movie, the night before we left about, a plane crash, and that got me, really scared. And then, ever since then, I don't think I've ever been on a flight. The first thing I do when I sit down is look at the, emergency thing.
Oh, my God.
For no reason either, right? Because it's if a plane crashes, you're going to be screwed. You're not really getting out of it.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's almost just a habitual, superstition thing where I, pull it out and look at it. I don't even, sort of process what it is. I just look at it and go, okay, I did that. It's good.
That's really interesting. My dad also has his dad. So my grandfather helped with Air Canada for a really long time, and so he knows my dad knows all the things that can go wrong with planes, and so he does more or less the same thing. He just hates flying. He gets on planes and he just thinks about all the things that can go wrong all the time.
Yeah.
I've never ever in my entire life heard that train tracks thing where you got to lift your feet. I've never even heard that before.
Now you're gonna do it, and then you're gonna be like, God damn it!
Probably. Superstition, you can't really look at the logic behind it, but like if there were, like what is the sort of prevailing thought? Like, why would you lift your feet going over train tracks?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure it's probably similar to like not stepping on a crack in the sidewalk or something, you know, like
bad luck sort of deal.
Something behind it. Yeah. It was sometime in high school, one of my friends did it and I was like, oh shit, well, I guess I better be doing that. And then I've just never stopped.
Yeah, I guess that's around the same sort of time period as, like, you know, somebody tells you in high school, look, if you're driving past a graveyard and don't hold your breath, that's super bad luck. Same sort of idea, right?
So I always heard it was hold your breath.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, hold your breath going, yeah, so that's crazy. I'm going to start doing that. I'm absolutely,
yeah.
I'm not even going to think about it. It's just going to happen now. Thanks.
It's actually kind of crazy. Like, I was just driving with, like, a little while ago, I don't know, within the last couple of years, my buddy Chase from Living with Lions, him and I were going somewhere, and I saw him do it when we were driving. I'm like, you do that too? And he's like, yeah. I was like, why? He's like, I don't know.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that. What's something that you listen to on a semi-regular basis that would surprise people?
Bryan Adams.
Right on, dude.
I love Bryan Adams. Waking Up the Neighbors is like one of my favorite records of all time.
Is that a Canadian thing, or is that used to like just like Bryan Adams, like just straight away?
I just think it's good. Like, you know, he could be from anywhere, and I would just be like, man, this is just great. He's got such an awesome voice, and like especially with that record, it's just like they're just great, like, you know, rock and roll songs. I think he's just like a really cool artist, and he does really cool things.
That's cool, man.
Other than that, I mean, like, sorry, I'm on a phone call.
No, I'm good.
That's fine. So Bryan Adams. I'm like a super huge Green Day fan since I was a kid. Rancid's a huge band I love. But as far as like weird bands, yeah, Bryan Adams is probably the one that is like the strangest out of the box that would surprise people.
Nothing to be ashamed about there. He is a tremendous musician, right? So that's
yeah,
awesome,
absolutely.
Man. That's cool. Is there any sort of hobbies that you like to take part in or anything like that, sports or like fidgety type activities that you do when you're like not writing music or on tour?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like a huge athletic guy. I drink beer and smoke cigarettes and misbehave. But I'm also like I've been off and on. I've like boxed for like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
So I do that semi-regularly when I'm home.
Right on.
I started doing hot yoga pretty regularly this last like 6 months. Just like, I think years and years of being in a band has sort of caught up on me, my hips and my knees and my back and stuff. So kind of do that. But on the road, we try to do a little bit of like fitness, try and be health conscious on the road a bit. I mean, like, I bring Focus mitts and gloves with me and jump rope and do a little bit of calisthenics here and there. The other Ron and our drummer are like push-up freaks. They love to do push-ups. Jeremy used to be quite an active marathon runner, actually.
Oh wow!
But he recently had a child coming up on 2 years.
Okay.
So he hasn't been as able to do that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, the band's relatively active. We try to be, especially when we're home and you have the time to sort of focus on your health mentally and physically, because once we're out on the road, it can get a little taxing.
Yeah, you're just day after day after day, same people, same living space. Like, I can understand that. So like you mentioned boxing, do you pay attention to like professional boxing at all, or is that something that interests you? Or
I don't. That's kind of the funny thing, is like a lot of the times I'll go to the boxing club and it's like, you know, guys are like, oh, did you watch this fight? And I'll be like, no, like I don't really know much about it, to be honest. The thing I like about it more than anything, I mean, I'm not like a big competitive guy, and I'm definitely not like a very aggressive guy. So the thing I like about boxing is almost the same thing with doing yoga, is it's just somewhere where I can go and sort of like focus on doing that, and I don't really think about, you know, work or the band or relationships or anything like that. You know, I kind of just forget about everything that's going on, and I can just focus on, you know, sort of trying to get good at what I'm doing and focus on, you know, learning those skills as opposed to, you know, letting everything from the outside world sort of come and interfere with that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know, everyone needs a little bit of escapism in their life in some way, shape, or form, be it, you know, activities or music or video games or whatever the heck. Cool, so just gonna take a couple back to the record stuff. What is your favorite track on the record?
I really like Surrender Control. Obviously, I'm kind of biased because it's a song that I wrote, and I was like, yeah, this song's sick, but I love that. I love Absolute. I really like Somewhere Somehow. There's moments in every song that I'm like, yeah, this is cool, and overall, there's not like a song I dislike on the record. Consume the Vision, I think, is great. Like Chris from the Flatliners is on that track, and he's a good friend of mine, and like I love the Flatliners. I love everything from when they were a ska punk band to, you know, this sort of awesome rock band they've become. So having Chris on the record is great, and then, you know, the last tune as well, having Matt Good, like Northcote, singing on the track was really cool too.
Right on.
They're all
good tracks. I like the album front to back. I'm really pumped that you guys were able to put it out. One last question, then I'll let you go, Stu. It's something that I always ask everybody that I always have on an interview, and it's the toughest question of every interview that I give.
Okay.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I mean, that's hard, right? Because, like, is a hot dog bun just a smaller, like, hoagie bun? You know, I don't know. And if that's the case, is like, is a sub sandwich just a hot dog without the hot dog?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's such a hard question, man. I need to know, though, which way do you think and why?
I would just say no.
Okay.
Just because. I don't know, because, like, if you went to a store and they were like, we have sandwiches and we have hot dogs.
Fair enough.
I guess that's my only logic behind it.
I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious to know what people think, right? So.
Yep.
I really appreciate it, Stu, from Comeback Kid, coming on to the Pity Party and giving an interview here. Your guys' new record, Outsider, coming out on New Damage Records on September the 8th, so coming up shortly. Stu, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Hey, I appreciate it.
All right, have a good one, man.
Some fun. Yeah, you take care.
All right, bye-bye.